السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make this marriage mubarak. Alhamdulillah, the sunnah of nikah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is still in vogue throughout the world. As far as this institution of marriage is concerned, in the Western world it is losing its appeal, and something that is in vogue now is what we term as live-in lovers. They live in as husband and wife for many, many years. And then if along the way, suddenly they decide to get married, then they get married. Otherwise children will be born illegitimate. But there is no rule of law. There is no such thing as morality governing the lives of people. As far as the governments of the world are concerned, whatever the voting public demands must become legislation, must be law. That is what we find throughout the world. The voting public, whatever their demand is, then it must be accommodated. Some place must be found for it in the statute book. Somehow, whether it is moral or immoral is immaterial, but somehow respectability must be given to it. Now this is not Islam. Islam has a different system altogether. It has a different set of values altogether. All this hype that was carrying on about Amina Lawal's case, it was because they don't understand that Islam has got a different set of values. Islam does not want people to live like animals in this world. Islam wants to give every person a position of dignity and honor in this world. As far as adultery is concerned, we have so many hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so many ayats of the Quran Sharif which strictly prohibit adultery. And not only in the Shariat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, even in the Shariats of the past there was strict prohibition of adultery. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, even they acknowledged that in the Ten Commandments, one of it was that thou shalt not commit adultery. So Shariat wants everybody to live a life of dignity and honor. And there's great wisdom in every hukam of Sharia. It's so beautiful, provided we have the sight, we have the basirat to understand and to see, to realize that it is divine teachings full of divine wisdom. Of course, as far as the evidence is concerned, it is extremely difficult to prove any person guilty of adultery which leads to punishment by stoning. Extremely difficult. 4 eyewitnesses to the actual act. Then again, there are so many things that can cause the case to be discharged from court and the witnesses to be punished. If the witnesses cannot come up with the evidence that is required, then they will get lashing. Then again, the woman has so much of opportunity to deny the evidence. There's so many things, the books of fiqh are filled with it. Under extreme cases, only somewhere along the line you will have the right evidence to prove somebody guilty to be stoned to death. Otherwise there will be other punishment. But stoning to death will be in the extreme. But of course the Western media, they will project Islam as a very, na'uzubillah, barbaric religion, because they don't have the knowledge. Now imagine in the case of the woman who was stoned to death in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because she was pregnant, first Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that, go away. Just to give the gist of it, first he refused to punish her because, and it was a confession, it was not a question of witch hunting, it was not a question of police going and searching for which woman has committed adultery or which man has committed adultery. It was a confession that what kind of iman that woman must have had, that she is coming and confessing knowing fully well that the punishment is stoning to death. She says, Ya Rasulullah, I am pregnant. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, well, the child did not commit any sin, you go away until you give birth. So she goes away. Now, which police was hunting for her to bring her back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? But she comes back again with the child. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, until this child is not weaned. Now again she's gone back with the child. Another 2 years may have gone. During that period of time, she could have got lost somewhere in the remote areas of Hijaz. There was no need for her to really come back. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't send any police to go and look for her. She comes back again, it says, with a piece of bread in the hand of the child. Then after that, when she was punished finally, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that he has made such kind of tawbah that if her tawbah has to be distributed over the people of Madina Sharif, they will be also forgiven. Because what kind of iman that woman must have had, that I better be punished in this world than being punished in the hereafter. And yet there was no need for her to keep coming back. She should have made sincere tawbah to Allah Ta'ala, repented, asked Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, He would have forgiven her. So in Islamic history you find this kind of confessions which led to this punishment finally. But the fact is that it was supposed to be a deterrent. Islamic punishments are intended to be a deterrent. What kind of deterrent it is that our jails are filled with criminals of all kinds. They are filled with it. People have committed the worst of murders. They have behaved like savages and animals, raping and murdering and killing in presence of the parents sometimes. Presence of the husband, the wife is raped and killed. And all these type of people have filled our prisons, and now the taxpayers must keep paying for their maintenance and for their upkeep. And some of them are provided with 5-star facilities in the prisons. Good food, good clothing, shelter, everything. So that is not a deterrent. Islamic punishment, it is executed at the last stage after proper evidence and everything is found, and then it is a deterrent. It is better that one person's hand is cut and 1 million people go to sleep comfortably than that in the name of human rights you try to save one hand and millions of people cannot go to sleep because they are always in fear of robbery, of stealing. A doctor in Jeddah mentioned to me, he says, Walla, there was so much of peace here, we used to just leave our doors open, there was no question of burglar guards, there was nothing. We didn't have to worry and bother. Our cars also, we used to park sometime with the keys inside, and our purses and everything also there, the money also on the seat. And nobody had the courage to even look into the car and touch the purse or pull out some money. But with the advent of television and with the large scale violence and murders and killings and robberies being shown on television, even our Jeddah is no more safe. And not only Jeddah, even Makkah Sharif and Madina Sharif is no more safe. But when the punishment was meted out and they did not have this flood of porn and filth and obscenity flowing, then there was so much of peace, so much of aman. Nobody was really worried. And even up till now, more than 1400 years have gone past. But still, if we go to certain marketplaces of Makkah Mukarramah and Madina Tayyibah, at the time of Salat, the person puts a bed sheet over his goods and he's gone for Salat. Haven't we seen that? He's got his blanket still hanging there, his bags hanging there, watches and clocks and everything still displayed there, and the person is gone for Salat. In which country do you find that? If that is not the barakat of that Islamic punishment and Islamic law, then what else is it? So zina also is something that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have severely condemned for very valid reasons. In one article, in a survey that was done in America recently, the social workers or that department states in that article, in one of the American journals I read it, in which the person states that more than two-thirds or almost two-thirds of the women in America are not faithful to their husbands. Two-thirds of the women are not faithful to their husbands. And the same with the husbands. The husbands are a little more unfaithful to their wives. Now when that is the situation, which father will have conviction that this child is my child? Which father will have that conviction that this child that is born of this wife of mine is my child, when a dozen other people have visited this wife? So Shariat wants purity of actions, purity of thought, purity of mind. That is why this beautiful institution of Nikah Shariat has given to us. One young Sahabi once came to Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You must have heard this many times, but it refreshes our iman. He came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, give me permission to commit zina. So it shows that this desire is in the hearts of everyone to have a relationship with a woman. It is a natural desire. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself has put that desire. If there was no such desire, we would not have had procreation. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he put this desire, but then how to fulfill this desire, he gave us this beautiful institution of nikah. So this young sahabi says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me permission to commit zina. Now what a kind of request he made. If it had been one of us, we would have blown our top. But look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hilm and tolerance. And look at his care and concern for the young and for the old and for everyone. That he understood that this person has got a problem. And this is not the occasion to lash out at him or to humiliate him, or ill-treat him, or punish him. The person, it shows he has got iman and strong iman, that he does not want to commit zina. Many people don't understand this, but if you look deeply into it, the person is asking for permission to commit zina, shows that he had solid and strong iman, that it is the teaching of the Quran and the teaching of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that you must not commit zina. So I will not commit zina, irrespective of what happens. Even if I have to die in this great passionate love of mine for some woman, but I'm not going to commit zina. The thing is, until Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, in many issues, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made some exceptions. For poverty reasons, certain things were exempted. So in the same way, he thought probably there could be some kind of exemption in his case. So he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, I want the permission. That means I will not commit zina, because it is a law of Sharia. But if you give permission, then I will go ahead. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how beautifully he advises him. And this is something that really fascinates us. That look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's approach. Any person with a little bit of intelligence will understand that there cannot be a better approach than this. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes him sit and says, Oh young man, just explaining to you. Says, do you have a mother? Said, yes. Would you like anybody to commit zina with your mother? He said, no. So in the same way, others also would not like that you commit zina with their mothers. Said, do you have it, or would you like somebody to commit adultery with your daughter? Said, no. Said, well, in the same way, others also would not like that somebody should commit adultery with their daughters. So would you like somebody to commit adultery with your sister? I said, no. In the same way, others would also not like that you commit adultery with the sisters. Would you like anyone to commit adultery with your aunt? He said, no. So in the same way, others would also not like that you commit adultery with their aunt. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in this way appealed to his logical senses. And the person admitted that of course nobody will like that the person must commit, unless of course he's become an animal. In the present day, people consent that yes, you can have or commit adultery with my wife. There's consensus. And that is the difference, that Islam has got a different set of laws. There's no such thing as mutual consent. At present, there's no legislation in the countries of the Western world and even South Africa now and other parts where it is a punishable offense to commit adultery if there is consensus. If there is an agreement, Now Sharia does not allow that, that if there is an agreement between two friends that I commit adultery with your wife and you commit adultery with my wife, then it is permissible. Even the animal kingdom does not accept that. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained to him in this manner that whichever woman you are going to be committing adultery with, she is somebody's mother. So you should respect her as your mother. She's somebody's sister, she's somebody's daughter, she's somebody's sister, she's somebody's wife. So just as you would not like that somebody behind your back commit adultery with your wife, with your sister, with your daughter, how you will fume, and if you are an owner of a gun, then probably you might even shoot the person's head off if you catch him committing adultery with your wife. So then you should have the same concern for others also, that you should also not do the same thing to somebody else's sister. Now somebody says, no, but they are non-Muslims, so what is the problem? So if non-Muslim, they are still the daughters of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. They are still Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's servants. And the law of Allah ta'ala still applies whether he's Muslim or non-Muslim. Does it mean if the person is non-Muslim, now you can take interest from the non-Muslim, you can commit zina with the non-Muslim, you can steal the goods of the non-Muslim? In fact, you must show your akhlaq and character even more. Wallah, I'm sitting in the masjid. Many, many people with Allah Ta'ala's fazl has accepted Islam upon the hands of this sinful servant. People of different races. And especially those who are the educated ones. Very recently, one German doctor also accepted Islam. So the question that they always pose is this, when we explain to them that in Islam you will believe in certain things, you have to do certain things, you have to stay away from certain things. And then I try to explain to them that why has Allah Ta'ala prohibited whatever He has prohibited. That if you have to go deep into a discussion on those items or those things or those actions which Allah Ta'ala has prohibited, then either they are harmful to the individual, harmful to his family, or harmful to the society, or harmful to the nation. That's all you will find. Whether it is gambling, whether it is drinking, whether it is adultery, whether it is fornication, whatever sinful thing or whichever thing Allah Ta'ala has prohibited, it is either harmful to the individual, family or society or nation. And there's great detail to it. So at the end of all that discussion, without fail, 99% of them ask me one question. They say that it is wonderful. Whatever you have explained, it's beautiful. And we see the wisdom, and indeed Islam and Islamic teachings are beautiful. But, and once they say, but I know what's coming. But I have a friend, he's a Muslim, and we go to the casino together. But I have a Muslim friend, and we have illicit relationship. We have been visiting the prostitute quarters. We have been going here and going there. Now what do you tell the person? Then we have to tell that person that yes, you are right. Unfortunately, in these days, Islam is in the books and not in the lives of the people. So don't look at the people, look at what is in the books. Whereas in the time of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we could have taken any individual sahabi, and if we had to get somebody else to revert or convert, then we will say that look at this sahabi, you will find guidance. Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself said, أَصْحَابِي كَنْ نُجُومْ بِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ. My sahabas are like the guiding stars. Whichever one of them you follow, you will get hidayat and guidance. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then put his hand over the chest of that sahabi. Now how fortunate, how lucky that sahabi must have been, on whose chest the mubarak hand of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was placed. And on whose chest it is being placed. On the chest of that person who is asking for permission to commit zina. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allahumma ghfir zamba. O Allah, forgive the sin of this young person. Wa tahhir qalba. And O Allah, these evil desires which are coming in his heart to commit zina, purify his heart of these evil desires. Wa hassin farja. And protect his chastity. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made that dua. And that sahabi says that after that, even the thought of zina didn't come in my mind. That was the barakat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's dua. Nevertheless, this teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is for purity. Allah Ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam does not want that there should be an increase of illegitimate children in this world. Which country is not faced today with the problem of illegitimate children? Big homes are built for single mothers. I'm not talking about those who were divorced, etc. I'm talking about those who were not married, committed a fornication, and then they gave birth to children. How many thousands of babies are destroyed daily, born out of wedlock? Thousands of them in the world. So how will the person then even know who is his child? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when this is going to increase, as I mentioned many times, that even zina is going to increase in the society, then of the many things that he mentioned in different hadiths, if you have to just look at them, one is that there will be an increase in deaths, large-scale murders, large-scale killings, large-scale murders. So there will be an increase in deaths, or by accidents and wars and whatever it may be. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that society will then suffer from such sicknesses and diseases which their forefathers didn't even hear of. Before they come to grips with just one sickness and one disease, and before they can find the proper vaccination, although there may be a lot of dispute and lots of argument and lots of different presentations with regards to AIDS and all the rest of it, but the fact is that they can't find a solution to the problem. Whatever is the cause, but that is that they can't find a solution. And look at the large scale of deaths. Then if they come to grips with one sickness, then there's another one that's surfacing, another one surfacing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that whole cities and towns will be destroyed, villages will be destroyed, when zina will increase in that society. And especially in these days, how many times I have mentioned that how careful we have to be. Because when the person is committing zina, according to the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the person's iman leaves his body. And it comes above him like an umbrella. After he has finished with the act, then that iman returns. Which means that if he has to die in that state, and many deaths have occurred in that state. Many deaths have occurred. Have we forgotten one of our Muslim brothers that came from Egypt and he was murdered by the prostitutes here? He came for one of the conferences. Where was he murdered? That is one. On Eid day, an undertaker picked up a body from one of the prostitute quarters of a Muslim. One brother already had two or three children. Now generally or normal, under normal conditions, we will say that you can't do justice to two wives, then to forget about two wives. Be satisfied with one wife and let her be your Layla. But in certain cases, we will say you rather make nikah where the person already has two children and most of the time is spending with that mistress of his. So a few years ago, a person told me what his problem was. And then I went and performed the nikah because it was not one of the normal cases. The very next day, the person died in that same flat, his mistress's flat. Now, if only that nikah was not performed, then where did he die? Now, did he have any knowledge that the very next day he's going to die there? Then I informed the family that no, that's his wife. Allah Ta'ala saved his respect. So we don't know when the angel of death will come and when he will extract our soul. How many times cars have been hijacked in which the person has got his girlfriend with, and then murders have taken place, or shootings have taken place. Embarrassment to the community, embarrassment to the Muslim Ummah. And leave all that hurt and injury and pain to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he is informed that Ummat for whom you cried so much, that Ummat for whom you shed so much of your blood in Taif, in Uhud, that Ummat for whom you used to stand whole night in prayer and beg, that Ummat in the casinos, in the discos, in the theatres, in adultery, in fornication. If we have got any love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would not like to cause him any injury and pain. So when we don't know when our death will come, where it will come and how it will come, so how much on guard we must be that we should not be in adultery or fornication. Allah Ta'ala has given us this beautiful institution of nikah. Simplify our living standards. Don't go for big hall weddings and marriages which will cause the person financial difficulties, where he has to invite so many thousand people or feed so many people or follow the practices and customs of the kuffar and mushrikeen, and in the process borrow from the banks, and then sometimes take others for a ride also, feed everybody biryani and next thing not paying the accounts and debts. So there's no need for all that. Simplify, look at this Jummah crowd, it's a ready-built crowd. How long does it take to make nikah? After that, a few friends, 5, 10, 15 people, whatever the person can afford, if he makes whatever meal they're going to have after the nikah with the niyat of walima, then that is walima, finish. How simple and easy. It is just like making 2 rakat sunnat namaz or 4 rakat sunnat namaz. But if we come onto that level, then we will find extremely easy the performance of these nikahs. And then so many young friends of ours, so many brothers, sisters will get married. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us and safeguard us from this haram of nikah, of zina. Allah ta'ala must give us death on iman and give us a death of barakat and blessings. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships and problems that the ummah is facing throughout the world. And may Allah ta'ala make us do those deeds and actions which are pleasing to Him, and distance us from those deeds and actions which cause hurt and injury to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.